Hello, my friends. My name is Father Gary Pennings. I have been appointed by Archbishop Nauman to be your new pastor. I was reading the readings for this week, and I read through that first reading from Ezekiel. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they whom I am sending you. I got a little nervous when I read that. No, I know this is a great place. 18 years ago, Monsignor Tank and I arrived here at the same time. We both moved here together. A few of you probably remember me from way back then. I only stayed a year. I was his associate pastor then, as assistant, and I only stayed a year, and then I went out to be pastor in Marysville, and of course, he stayed until now, and he's been a great mentor of mine. We've been longtime friends. But those are big shoes to fill, so please don't expect me to be Monsignor Tank. He is a priest. He's one that we all look up to. But I do have my own gifts. I don't have as many as he had, or he has, but I will do my best to serve you. But I can't be him. I'll have to be myself. You know, a new pastor is a little bit akin to a prearranged marriage. You didn't pick me, but you've got to live with me. And I didn't pick you, but I've got to live with you. And by God's grace, we'll fall in love with one another. So, you know, the readings today reminded me of how God's ways are not our ways. We often try to control God, or we try to conform him to our image instead of the opposite. We can't always predict how his grace is going to unfold. The gospel, he's a hometown boy, right? They all know who he is, and now he's claiming to be the Messiah. He's performing these amazing deeds, and they can't accept it. He's not respected in his own town. And Jesus was amazed by their lack of faith. They didn't have faith. They had a preconceived notion of how things could be, and they weren't willing to submit that to the mystery of God and to trust in him, that he can do things that might seem impossible. And so they didn't have faith, and not many miracles happened there because of their lack of faith. Even St. Paul, he had to accept the truth that prior to that occasion where he had the encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus, he probably would have never bought into. But after he encountered the risen Lord, his life was forever changed. And he was able now to say that power is made perfect in weakness. Paul would have never said that before encountering Christ. He realized that when he was weak, in other words, when he got out of the way and let God work, let the grace of God take over, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Then miracles happened. Then amazing things happened. When he was weak, that's when he was strong. His worldview was turned upside down by encountering Jesus Christ. And so should ours. So should ours. You know, I was ordained 28 years ago. I was a late vocation. I was 46 when I was ordained. I was a paramedic most of my life. The last 12 years before I went to seminary, I was a deputy chief nowadays of Johnson County Medec, the paramedic service here in Johnson County. And I was ordained on June 2, 2001, the same day that the Kansas Speedway opened up there in Kansas City, Kansas, at the Legends. And Archbishop Kelleher was my ordaining bishop then. And I don't know if you remember him, but he was quite a jovial guy and kind of quite a character. And he said, well, everyone thinks the action's up there, but I say the action's happening here. That was his statement at the ordination. But I recall that day that I was ordained, the day the racetrack opened, because every time I go to a new parish, I give what I call my racetrack homily. And it's about an analogy between life and a car race. So The goal of a car race is to run the race, right? To be out on the track, to encounter all that happens there. The close calls, the advances, the wrecks, the messes. But they can't stay out there all the time. Every once in a while, they have to come into the pits to have their tank filled with gas, to have their engine tuned, to have tires changed, to have things calibrated. Well, that's an analogy of the Christian life. You are on the racetrack. The work of the church happens out there. In all the messiness of life, in places of work, of school, of politics, of socializing, of ups and downs, of trials, of tragedies, of joys, that's where the gospel is lived. That's where the gospel is proclaimed. That's where Christians who see the world differently attract other people's attention. People notice when they say, huh, how come they can have such confidence despite all the trials? How can they can have such hope in the midst of tragedy? How can they be so upbeat when the world seems to be falling apart? How can they have such trust in God's goodness? How can they be so kind even when I don't treat them very well? That's where the work of the church happens. This is the pits. So to speak. And he and I, Father Viet and I, are the pit crew along with others. And you come in here every Sunday to have your spiritual tank filled, to have your spiritual engine recalibrated, to be nourished by the Word of God and by the body and blood of Christ, to be strengthened for what? To run the race, to be there out on the track of life. The church's work doesn't happen here. Here's where God changes you. Here's where God calibrates you. Here's where you're transformed and where your worldview of how you think things should be is changed to become in accord with God's view. And then, probably the most important words in the Mass, go. Go now and live the gospel. Go and announce the good news. Go and be that joyful disciple. Go and transform the world. Go and be leaven in the dough of the world. That's the mystery of the church. Here is where God works through his mechanical team, so to speak. But the work happens on the racetrack of life. So I'm the pit crew, and I'll do my best to keep you calibrated and tuned, but you do the work, and the work happens for the most part out there. There's a few things you'll hear often from me, because I preach it all the time. Prayer, 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 prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Pray without ceasing. You don't know how to pray? Pray anyway. I'm still trying to figure it out. Keep praying. Keep praying. Prayer is how we stay in relationship with the Lord. Just look at all your other relationships. If you're not communicating, if you're not communing, if you're not together, if you don't have intimacy, look at marriages. Marriages without intimacy are a cross. Intimacy with the Lord is how we come to know him, not just about him, how we come to know him. Learn to pray. Pray, pray, pray. And there's no one way to pray. The most important part of prayer is to shut up and listen. Listen. We talk a lot in prayer. And I always preach because I preach to myself because I have to convince myself to be quiet long enough to listen to the Lord. The second thing you'll hear me preach about a lot is rightly ordered love. Sin has affected our ability to love properly. Our ability to love is tainted by sin. So we have selfishness, all kinds of things that come in. We use people for our own benefit. We think, what will I get out of this? We don't see it as self-sacrificing, as willing the good of the other. We have to learn how to love like Jesus loved. And his grace, his teaching, his grace from the sacraments will help us do that. But sometimes it's a lifelong learning. Because in heaven, there is no disordered love. Only ordered love in heaven. And so we have to learn how to love now while we're here. With God's help. We can't do it alone. And last, the importance of evangelizing. The church exists to evangelize. Go look at Jesus' words to his disciples. Go and announce the gospel to every creature. I always thought that was funny. I guess that even means dogs and cats. Announce the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Live it. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything I've commanded you, he said. And so evangelization starts in my own heart, through prayer, through rightly ordered love. And then I go out and I begin to share it. I begin to live it. I begin to encounter all of those things on the racetrack of life. And I become an instrument of the Lord to lead others to him. Those are the things that I will probably harp on for as long as I'm here. So let's pray for each other over the next however many years the Lord wills me to be here. Pray that I be a good pastor to you, and I'll pray that you be open to the truth of the gospel and that you be willing to let it change you, because that's what prayer is about. Prayer is not about twisting God's arms. It's about us changing. We are the ones that have to change so that we can joyfully together continue this adventure that's called discipleship, being a disciple of the Lord Jesus. What a great gift we have in our Catholic faith. I'm so happy to be here. As I said, pray for me and I'll pray for you. And let's hope that this arranged marriage turns out very well. Thank you. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. God bless you.